A number of our families are traveling today. Kent and Darla are on like a three-weeker heading up into the Dakotas and Canada. And I don't know if you followed any of their stuff on Facebook, but man, that would be almost a challenge for me just to get the directions right. Everywhere they've been, that's an amazing trip that they're on. I think Casey and Katie are getting away, and it's just a good time. I feel a little jet lagged this morning just from time off work. I'm out of my routine, but that's good. I feel rested. It's a good thing. So if you're with us today, you're a visitor. We're glad you're here. We've been in this upper room, what they often call the upper room discourse. Jesus last night with his disciples in the upper room, and then as he made his way down to the garden and was arrested and then tried and beaten and then hung on a cross. So this is that last few hours with the disciples, his teaching, them preparing them for life on earth without Jesus. They've been with him for about 3 years now, and he's been taking care of everything. There wasn't a problem that came up. There wasn't a directional issue what to do. He took care of it. He fed them. He healed people. He guided them. Everything. Danger came up. Jesus took care of it. And now he's preparing them to carry on the mission in his absence. He'll be gone, and he's handed it off to us. And he's preparing them for the mission. And he tells them that they can do this mission, although it's going to be a mission with great adversity. They can do it with joy. They should love each other. They can have peace. This is how you will have peace in the family and in your life, in your heart. You'll have hope. You won't have to abandon the faith. You won't have to run for cover. Stay in the game. But you are going to have great adversity. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but when they started following Jesus, it was really pretty cool. I mean, he was an awesome guy to be around, right? I mean, you see a guy walk on water, feed 5,000. I mean, this is all cool. Even the danger, he makes it go away. I mean, he speaks to the weather and it stops. I mean, this is just an amazing 3 years. But when he left, their lives changed dramatically. It became a dangerous existence for them. And as you know, many of them were eventually killed. They were imprisoned. They were stoned. Right away, their life changed in a very adverse way for following Jesus. And he's gone now. So he's preparing them for this. You and I don't face the adversity that they faced. But he told us we would have adversity. And this much I know is true. He said, if they hated me, they will hate you. And the nugget of that is when we begin to live out our faith, when we begin to speak about our faith and the gospel and that core little nut right in the middle that we have undeniable, unmendable sin and Jesus is the Savior. Undeniably, he is the Savior you need. That core gets us in trouble. I can be a great friend. I can be a great neighbor. I can be a great church-going person you know down the street. But when I get to that point and I start telling you, you're not good enough, you have unexcusable sin, and there's nothing you can do about it, it's point blank, in your face, you have it and you've got to face it. You'll never be good enough. Nothing you can do. Unexcusable, and Jesus is the Savior. You have to have Him. We'll get in trouble. Our relationship will come to a crossroad. And you may not hate me outwardly. You may not hate me physically, but in your heart, that will be something about me you really don't like. And we'll have difficulty there. Some people will hate us. Some people will tell us, get out of my face. I don't want to hear your Jesus stuff anymore. Some people will get rabid. Yeah, throw trash in your yard or who knows what. Yell at you at the prayer stand. I mean, some people will. Others will just be very polite and very nice, and in their heart, I wish he wouldn't say that. That's just, I hate that. But that's the truth. And Jesus said that is the truth, and they will hate you because they hated me. So he's preparing them for this existence, and that is our existence as well. If your faith is undercover, then you won't have to worry about this. But that's not our church. In our church, we live out our faith. We speak about our faith. And we need help. We need some guidance. We're going to need a little help from our friend, the Holy Spirit, to do this. Jesus has given us this help. We learned last week that there's a new type of prayer that will help us. This week, we need a little help if we're going to thrive, not just survive, but we're going to thrive in our adversity. We're going to need a little help from our friend, the Holy Spirit. And he's a big helper. He's a big friend. I want to talk about that today. I'm going to talk about it in a very kind of a toned down way. We have our kids with us today. I hate to say dumb it down, but we're just going to simplify this message today. Speaking about the help there for us to thrive in our adversity. If you're like me at all, when I was saved, I was a bigger idiot than I am now. When I was saved, my life was a mess, right? I'm waiting to get sentenced to 4 to 20 in prison when I'm saved, right? So I get saved and my life begins to turn around. My life begins to clean up. So you go, well, Terry, you look like a pretty clean individual today. Where is this adversity coming from? And the adversity comes from that some of us, we get cleaned up and then we start living up to our faith and we bring adversity back into our life. For a while, it's just all refreshing. It's just all cleaning. It's just all good. It's just great change for a person like me. But then as I began to learn more and more about the Scripture and I began to speak it, and you know where I stand, I invite difficulty back into my life because I know it's going to affect my relationships with people. The adversity I'm talking about this morning is that adversity. It's not your ongoing health problem. It's not you're having trouble paying a bill. The adversity that I'm talking about and that this passage is talking about is that we are going to live out our faith, speak out our faith in such a way that it's going to bring adversity into our relationships and into our life through that. At work, in our marriages, in our boyfriends and girlfriends, in the neighborhood, you might clean up, but as you begin to speak and live up to your faith, you're going to invite back in this adversity in your relationship. So that is the adversity we're talking about. Sometimes the more we grow into our faith, the more adverse some relationships get. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. Before I get into the message, and it's going to be quick, it's going to be simple, you'll thank me when you get out of here early. I want to read just a few passages, John 14 and John 16. Just listen. I'm going to group them together because Jesus keeps going back to them. And I want to read just 10 verses or so about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus weaves this through his teaching, preparing them to thrive. Listen as I read. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Now, kids, I just said he's going to give you another helper to be with you how long? How long? How long is the Holy Spirit going to be with you? Matt, how long is the Holy Spirit going to be with you? According to this verse, right? So if he gives you the Holy Spirit, you have him how long? Very good. You get an A. Okay, he's going to give you the Holy Spirit, the helper, to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So, he tells us right up front, here's the path, here's where we're going, Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask the Father. He's going to send the Holy Spirit to you forever. And he will do three things to you. And here's the three words I want us to remember this morning. The Holy Spirit, in this passage, he's going to do a lot of other things throughout the Bible, but in this passage, the Holy Spirit, in your adversity, in the adversity we come across in our relationships, in our life, from living out our faith, the Holy Spirit is going to teach us in our adversity, remind us in our adversity, guide us in our adversity into the truth we need to know. And that's what he said in the John passage I read to you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. So, number one, our Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit you and I receive, is a teacher. He's a teacher. And we need taught. But we can be taught in our adversity. When adversity comes into our life, it doesn't mean we've failed, we've screwed up somewhere. It's gonna come. It's predicted. Jesus said, you're gonna have it, but I'm gonna teach you in it. There's learning to be done in it. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And, he says, we impart this in words. We have a book full of words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So the Holy Spirit is a teacher, and he's come to teach us in our adversity. Not the world's wisdom, not the world's ways, not the world's knowledge, but to teach us the truth about God that will be taught to other people. It's truth that is taught, was taught to Paul and to Peter and the apostles. They then taught other men. They taught us, and we will teach others. It is truth to be taught. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. He's teaching us. In however difficult situation you're in, whatever relationship, neighbor, friend, husband, wife, there's teaching to be done by the Holy Spirit. My question to you is this. What are you learning? If we're going to reflect back and look on our lives, the question is then, if he's teaching, what am I learning? Because if I can think of what I'm learning, then I know the Holy Spirit's at work in my life teaching. What are you learning? Let me put it to you this way. What did you know 5 years ago, but you learned today, and now you've changed your mind. You go, man, you know what? I always thought this about Jesus. I didn't know this, and now I know it. I thought I understood this part about Jesus, but this clears it up. That's what I'm asking. What are you learning? What is he teaching you about this opposition, this adversity, his faithfulness, his self? What are you learning? If you can know, this is what I've learned in the last few years. Through my adversity, Jesus has taught me this. He's faithful. Man, nothing's bigger than him. What is he teaching you? Are you learning in your adversity? That's my question. My encouragement is this. Sometimes the best teaching and learning comes in adversity. Don't miss that. If you're in a real tough situation, you're in a real tough relational situation, it's easy to let all our emotions just crash in on us and go, man, I'm a loser. This is bad. What am I doing wrong, God? Why have you forsaken me? What's going on? Don't miss the point. The Holy Spirit will be teaching you in this adverse situation, and some of the very best lessons are learned in your adversity. When we're in a really bad, tough situation, our first thought is, when's this going to end? I need out of this. I need rescue, and Lord, rescue me. And maybe our prayer should be, Lord, teach me. What is it you want me to know? Let's not get out until we've learned what it is the Spirit wants to teach us in this difficult, miserable, hard situation. Before you ask to be rescued, ask what it is he wants you to learn. The Holy Spirit will teach us in our adversity. Secondly, the Holy Spirit will remind us. He will remind us. It says here, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. He will remind us quietly. He will nudge us. I have a thing on my phone, it's called a notification, because my old crusty brain doesn't remember things well. And so thankfully I get a little beep or a little something on my phone, notification, you have an appointment today, you have to go here today. Notification, reminder, remember you made this appointment. The Holy Spirit will remind us. It will remind us, and it says here, Jesus told them, the Holy Spirit will remind you, bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now that's really helpful. Because if I'm in an adverse situation, if a relationship has gone south, and it seems like the more I grow in Christ, the tougher this relationship gets, I need reminded of things the Scripture says. I need reminded of how good God is. I need reminded of what He's able to do. The Holy Spirit is there to remind us. Just remind us of what we've already heard, what they heard Jesus speak. They're reminded of that. It's very encouraging. Now, question then. If we're reminded, it's different from teaching. Reminding is that I have already been told something. I've already put something in, and I'm just reminded of it. I've already made the appointment, and I'm reminded of what I've already put in my phone, right? What are you putting in that you can be reminded with? You get my picture? If you never read your Bible, if you never hear a sermon, if you never sit down and have coffee with a good Christian friend who can input in, you're not going to have much to be reminded of. The only reminders will be those sad, sad conversations, those really bad advice conversations, that really stupid thing you had on TV. That's what you're going to remember, but the Holy Spirit has to have material to remind you of something good about Jesus. What are you preparing for your adversity? What are you putting in the barn for when the crop fails and the Holy Spirit comes and you need to feed yourself from what's in the barn? You say, man, my memory's shot like yours, Terry. You've done enough stuff. You've put enough stuff into your body. My memory doesn't work well. I'm one of those guys, I remember faces, but I don't remember names that well. I mean, my brain is kind of cloudy, particularly at my age. Here's the good news. Here's the great news. The Holy Spirit's going to do it for me. My memory may fail, but the Holy Spirit is faithful. He will remind us. And just out of the blue, when I'm talking to someone, and some of you have told me this already, you've had the same experience. You're talking to someone, and all of a sudden, a scripture or something pops in your head, and you go, bleh, and you go, wow, that was pretty amazing. How did I do that? The Holy Spirit is faithful to remind us of what was put in a while back so that we can get through our adversity. And Jesus said, that's what's going to happen to you guys. This night is going to go south and your life is going to change now that you are following me yourself and I'm leaving and the mission goes forward. You're going to need help just remembering the things I've said to you. And I'm praising God right now, saying, thank you, Lord, man, because my memory isn't very good. And the Holy Spirit reminds me of that. Number three, and this comes from John 16. I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into He will guide you into all truth. All the truth you need to know. The Spirit will guide you into it. There's two parts to this guiding. There's direction and there's portion control. There's direction and there's portion control. We need guided into all of it. We need direction and we need to know how much portion control. So the Holy Spirit will guide us in both ways. Very cool thing here. Amazing thing. In here's your Greek lesson for this morning. The Greek word for road is hados. Hados. It's a road, right? And if you're guiding someone down the road, if you say, hey, follow me, I'll show you there. You're guiding them down the road. You're the hadego. Hadego. You're the guide. You're the road guide. That's the word for the Holy Spirit. He will guide us down the road. He will give us directions. We're on the road of life through adversity, really hard situations. Sometimes we don't know which way to turn. Man, what do I do now? Which way do I go? Holy Spirit will guide us down the road. Now, Mark, turn on that video. You know this. You know what I'm talking about. Ah, there's my guide. It's Siri. She's taking me. Turn left here, Terry. Turn left. Oh, you turned right. You made a mistake, Terry. What are you doing? Terry, here, I'll reroute you. Whoop, whoop, man, I have really screwed up here. I'm going to turn my life back around. Go the right way. Where was I going? Oh, there you go. I reroute you again. I've turned my life back around. I made a mistake, but I've turned it back around, and now I'm heading, and you're giving me directions. You're showing me the right road to take to get to my destination. Turn right, turn right, turn right. There we go. And we're driving, going through life, just plugging along so sweet. Sometimes life is just going along smooth, a nice pace. I like this, 65, 70 mile an hour. Sometimes it slows way down. Oh, man, what are you doing? Did you stop? What? Let's get going again. Here we go. Let's go a little faster. Sometimes life goes slow on the road. Spirit will guide you how fast to go. Oh, there we go. We're going again. Siri is amazing. End of route. You got me there. That's the Holy Spirit. It may not give you details. It may not tell you what color socks to wear today. But it will give you the direction. Take this road. Turn left here. Oh, you made a wrong turn. Turn around. The Spirit will lead us down the road through adversity. Through adversity, and that's when we need directions maybe the most, He will take us where we need to go. Direction, directional leading in adversity. He'll give us principles. He'll help us, but He also gives us portion control. Because it says here, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But when the Holy Spirit comes, He will lead you into, He will give you portion control. He will feed you what you're able to digest. We wish we knew so much more of what was going on in adversity. Man, I wish I knew what the right thing, I wish I knew what was truth. I wish I knew this. The Spirit will feed us just what we need to know when we need to know it. And it's truth. This world, this planet, you know this is true. This world functions on Fantasy Island. You know it does. Zipline, zipline. Remember that show, Fantasy Island? That world's living on Fantasy Island. Man, they go from one thing to the next to the next. Just play the game. Just play the game. Just play the life game, would you? Just smile at me like you like me. I just lied to you. Smile like you believe it. I'm cheating. Just smile like you get it. I mean, this life plays the game. The Spirit of truth will lead us into truth. And it may not be a happy time when we come face to face with the truth, but it will be truth. It will be real as God sees it. That's what truth is. And that's really what we want to know in adverse situations, right? What's the truth? Jesus said, I've come to declare the truth. And Pilate said, what is truth? He knows the game. Pilate knows the game. What's truth? How do you know that's true? The Spirit will lead you into what's true. He'll lead you into reality. And that's a big help for us. He'll teach you and feed you portion control as you can bear it, what you need to know today to get through your adversity. So my question then is, do you tend to stop in adversity? When we come to adversity, do we put the brakes on? You've been living out your faith, you've been speaking out your faith, and it seems to be complicating matters. And the idea then, oftentimes is, I better just shut up. I better just stop. I better hide it. Better not show it. It's making matters worse. And the Spirit says, no, let me guide you through it. Let me turn you here and there. Oh, if you made a wrong turn, turn around. He wants to move us and direct us. He doesn't want us to stop. I'm so thankful these apostles did not stop. They kept going. Spirit is faithful to reroute us as we can handle it. On Google Maps, on Siri, if I make the wrong turn, it will reroute me. And I don't know if you saw on that illustration or not, but the reroute where it was a very long way around. But the destination was the same. You're going to get to the destination. You're going to get rerouted. You can turn your life around or you can go the long way around, but the Spirit is faithful to reroute us. And the amazing thing is, in the rerouting, there's some very, very valuable things that can happen in our life. If you've made a mistake, if you've taken a wrong turn, do not think game over. Look for the Spirit. Look for the teaching. Look for the reminding. Look for your Savior. There's some incredibly valuable things, profoundly valuable things can happen on the reroute as the Spirit leads you. Now, I don't know if you've picked up on this yet. I've just spoken to you in a very personal way about living life, expressing and living out and speaking about our faith and our Savior, unexcusable sin and undeniable need for Jesus Christ that will get us in trouble. So there's a very personal application to this. But there's also a very profoundly valuable doctrinal application to this. Because what Jesus was just telling his 12, or 11 by now, was about the doctrine we call the inspiration of Scripture. We read about the inspiration of Scripture, how somehow the Holy Spirit guides those men who wrote the Bible. And our great question is, how do we know that was just not men writing that? How did that happen? How did the Spirit inspire them, move them? It's God breathed, is what it said. And he was just telling his men who were going to write the better part of the Bible, he was telling them about this inspiration of Scripture that they were going to learn about and do and perform. The Holy Spirit would teach them in their adversity. He would teach them things they would write in the Bible for me and you centuries later. Tremendously valuable things happen in adversity, and the Holy Spirit will teach them. How's he going to do that? Now let me just give you one example for each one. If you ever wanted to know about how does the inspiration of Scripture work, Jesus told them, but I'm only going to give you one. There's a lot more, and I don't want to keep you here till 1 o'clock. He's going to teach them. How will the Holy Spirit teach them? Well, it's how Jesus did it, and I believe, I am fully confident this is one way the Holy Spirit would teach them. When Jesus rose from the dead, he came back, he was walking along the Damascus Road, and there was these guys, they didn't recognize him, and it said that Jesus showed them himself, he taught them, from Moses and the prophets, he showed himself to them in all the Scriptures. And I believe that's one way the Holy Spirit taught these men in the inspiration of our Bible. Because they had the Old Testament. And now they had Jesus for 3 years. And so as they're praying, as they're talking, as they're together, whatever they're doing, they're reading their Old Testament, the Holy Spirit goes, ka-ding, and the big light bulb comes on right here, and they go, oh, Isaiah 6, Jesus did that. Oh, Leviticus 4, Jesus, huh? And that's what it said Jesus did when he came back on the road to Damascus. He opened their mind, it says, and they saw him and they learned and they understood things about him. He taught them and the Holy Spirit. One way the Holy Spirit would teach these men was because they have their Old Testament, the law and the prophets, and all of a sudden they're making the connection and they're going, oh, that was Jesus. Oh, he did that. Oh, and they're just doing this. And tell me this ain't true. Our New Testament is full of quotes of the Old Testament. Doesn't Matthew have over 70 quotes of the Old Testament saying, hey, see this, hey, see this, hey, see this, hey, see this? Over 70 in Matthew alone. Our New Testament is full of quotes. You know what they're preaching to us? The fulfillment of the Old Testament Messiah. All fulfilled in Jesus. Spirit taught them that. Jesus didn't have time to teach them all. They said, I got more things to say, but I can't say it now. The Spirit's going to come and he will guide you into it. Bing, 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 right, right, right. Thank you very much. Inspiration of Scripture. He teaches them. The Holy Spirit reminded them of things Jesus said to them. If you think your memory's bad now, when you get in a pickle, when you're really in trouble, you can't remember nothing. You need the Holy Spirit. He says here, he reminds them of the things Jesus said. They heard Jesus breathe out these words himself. He spoke them. That's what he's reminding them of. Do you know what 2 Timothy 3:16 says? All scripture is given by inspiration, God breathed of God, and is profitable for doctrine, which means teaching, doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Holy Spirit reminds them of what Jesus said, and they write it down. How is these Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so amazingly similar? How do you remember what Jesus said 3 years ago? How do you remember what he did that day or that night when it was so dark and we were so tired, we had people chasing us? How do you remember all this stuff? Because the Holy Spirit reminded them of the things he said, and they wrote it down right here, and it is so similar, it's eerie, isn't it? It's not identical. No four accounts of one story will be identical, but he reminded them of what he said. The Holy Spirit reminds them of what he said. Holy Spirit guides them down the road. Now, this is really cool. The Holy Spirit, in the process of inspiration, guided them. So, in your New Testament, you'll hear the writers throughout Acts and into the epistles. You will hear Paul or one of the others say something, maybe Peter, like, I wanted to come to you, but the Holy Spirit prohibited me. You've heard that. You've read that, yeah? I was planning on going here, but the Holy Spirit took me here, and I'm writing you this letter until I get there. Oh, this letter. I'm writing you this letter. So you rerouted me. I wanted to go here. Holy Spirit's guiding me, reroutes me here. I go here, and so now I write a letter there, and you get it here. In the reroute, there's some really valuable things that happen. And you and I carry scriptures from the reroute. If he'd have gone there, he'd have never wrote them this letter that you and I have. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you're going here, and you're going to write a letter there. And it's going to live on for centuries about me. Don't you ever think that if your life has been rerouted, this is not the course I planned on taking. There are some amazingly valuable things will happen in your reroute. And they happen in the inspiration of Scripture. He teaches them, he reminded them, he guides them, and he does for us in your adversity. It is not game over. Wherever you're at. Wherever you're at. How do I know it's the Holy Spirit? Well, I'll tell you one way that this scripture says right here. And I'm going to have to resist getting up on my soapbox right here because I would love to shout from the rooftops. How do I really know it's the Holy Spirit? In verse 14 it says, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. The Spirit does not glorify himself. The Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ and the Father. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and what is the Father's and give it to you. And if you ever see any ministry, any church, anywhere glorifying the Holy Spirit, propping up the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, it is not the Holy Spirit. They are manufacturing the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. It says here, he doesn't even speak on his own authority. He speaks what he hears from us. He speaks what is piped to him from the Father, from Jesus. Jesus asks the Father, and the Father gives us the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is part of the Godhead, but He is not speaking on His own authority. He only speaks and does what that Godhead deems needs to be done. And He does not glorify Himself. He glorifies Jesus. There are too many people today glorifying the Holy Spirit, and that is not the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 10, I'm going to read this to you. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Listen. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you." You have power. Acts chapter 1 says, "After the Holy Spirit comes, you will have power and you'll be witnesses unto me." You'll have authority. I'm giving you authority. I saw, when you guys were out there, I saw Satan like lightning just fall from heaven. Woo! Even the demons obeyed you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written down in heaven. Don't rejoice in that power and that authority. I saw Satan fall. Demons obey me. Holy Spirit, come, boom! Don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is written down in heaven. Rejoice. You're a child of the King. Rejoice. The Holy Spirit moves and acts. Don't rejoice in that. He glorifies me. Rejoice in my grace. Rejoice in my love. Rejoice, I reroute you and do amazing things in your life. Rejoice, I'm faithful and I've given you this Holy Spirit to lift you up, remind you and teach you in your adversity. Rejoice that you know me. Rejoice you're going to come and be with me forever. But don't rejoice in the power over spirits. It's a circus, what I see going on today out there in the name of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't glorify Jesus. I don't know what spirit it is, but it's not that spirit. So I conclude this way. If we're really going to take this to heart, first question I ask myself, how do I handle adversity? How am I handling adversity? If the Holy Spirit is going to come in our adversity, in our relationships that my faith just seems to be an issue in, how do I handle the adversity? I'd love about now just to stop and call some of these young people up here and say, how does your faith affect your relationships at school? Are there any kids that make fun of you? Do you have to kind of play it low? Or do you, whew? And you know what the answer would be. Some they make some great friendships through their faith, and others they probably get made fun of. How do you, as an adult, how do you handle adversity? Is it by the Spirit? Do you look back at your adversity and go, man, I learned so much in there. God just reminded me how amazing He was. He taught me. He guided me through it. It was so hard. I'd have never done it on my own. Or do you handle adversity like everybody else does? You cut me in the back and I'll cut you in the back. You scratch my back and I'll scratch yours, but you turn your back on me. You my enemy, I'll cut you. How do you handle adversity? Do you go to the truth? Is that what you want, the truth, or do you want to win? Do you want to come out on top? How do we handle adversity? Nobody handles it 100% right. I sure don't. I hope you do better than I do. But how do you handle adversity? That's the question we have to ask ourselves, because the Spirit is telling us there is valuable, amazing things I will do for you. I will shape you into the image of Christ in your adversity if you let me. I'd say right now hindsight is really good. Look back on how you've handled adversity. Did I lean into the Holy Spirit? Did I lean into the truth? Or did I just want to win? Did I want to come out on top? Hindsight would be very good right now. The forever spirit will never leave you in your adversity, and He will shape you and make a beautiful, beautiful diamond out of you in the pressure of adversity. In great adversity, you and I have one of the best, biggest, most beautiful treasures we'll ever hold. We hold a piece of God in our hand right here, inspiration. God breathed, God taught, God reminded, God guided words of this book through adversity, through the pressure of relationships either made beautiful or crippled by our faith. What's the adversity of your life writing for the next generation to read about Jesus Christ? Somebody's looking at our life. They're looking at the adversity that we've faced and gone through and will go through, and somebody is reading us. What are they reading when they look at us in adversity? You're writing something. Your life, your actions, and your words are writing something for those next generations, for those neighbors, co-workers to read about Jesus Christ and your faith. We have this, and we have our life in adversity that's writing a message about Jesus. What are you writing about the Savior in your adversity? A lot of little kids here today. Man, I want them to read the beauty of the gospel of Christ, not only here, but in my life, through my adversity, through my adversity. Holy Spirit will teach, remind, and guide us in adversity as we live out and speak out our faith in the mission of Christ. That's a message we have to get through to our kids as well as to ourselves. How are we going to convey that to these children as they grow if we want them to live out their faith and carry on the mission? Beautiful teaching. It sounds like parenting, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Teach, remind, guide. Teach, remind, guide. And our Father will do that for us in and through the adversity of our faith. It's a beautiful thing. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We need you. You are a great Father. You're the perfect Father. Lord, like our children, they don't always understand what we're doing, and we don't always understand what you're doing, but you're faithful to teach and remind and guide us through the mission of Jesus Christ as we live it out. We love you. I pray for us now, this family of believers here now. Lord, may your Spirit speak so clearly, so wonderfully into our soul. May you defend us and you guide us and teach us. Thank you so much, Lord. We love you. Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming. Have a great day.